Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Town Talk powered by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Lieutenant Lee Peters from the Stafford Sheriff's Office is in this morning. We're going to talk about a whole lot of things, and Lieutenant Peters, it is great to have you back. Good to see you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. It's always good to have you in because you have you're out and about and involved in a lot of when we talk traffic stuff. The traffic is so important around here, but so many of us are so careless when we're out.
Well, yeah. Well, first we need to go back a couple of days.
I was afraid we were going to do this.
You know, I learned something about you this week. You know, 35 years. First of all, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
I was honored to be a part of your celebration the other day, and it was absolutely remarkable to hear about your accomplishments over 35 years. So, I got a question for you real quick. So, it was 1983.
Yeah.
Your first interview was Memorial Day.
Yeah.
So what were you thinking? How did you feel sitting across from like the mayor and then giving your first interview?
I had just moved here. I didn't know anything about it. I knew that there had been the Molly Hatchet concert in Fredericksburg that had been just a disaster as far as traffic goes. Speaking of traffic, I didn't know the mayor. Someone had described who he would be, and I found him to be the most gracious because here I am, a kid. I was just out of college. I had just graduated from college and go interview the mayor. And so I was to begin with, felt really, really just intimidated. And he could have made me feel, you know, 2 inches tall. And he acted like I was, you know, that he was talking to a network reporter.
So between then and now, I mean, you know, after 35 years, I mean, what do you think is your greatest accomplishment? I mean, we love you in the community. You bring us here and you let us talk and have fun and, you know, act silly on the radio with you. But what is your greatest accomplishment so far? I mean,
I think just letting whether it's you or yesterday it was three individuals talking about this solar farm in Spotsylvania that they were opposed. Just bringing people in to talk about things and not interrupting them. And occasionally, if you have to, you know, ask a tough question or do that. But I think in this case, just letting you come in and talk about the things you do, just giving you a platform that you wouldn't have.
Well, we appreciate it. And like I said, after 35 years, and I just want you to know, you know, we talked a little bit off the air about age and stuff. I was 10 at that point. So
thank you. You're not like Sergeant Coles in the city. You told me he hadn't been born.
I've been victimized by that speech before, but hey, you know, congratulations.
Thank
it was
you.
An honor. I am so appreciative of what you're doing for us and letting us come on here. And I don't think everybody knows your contributions to the area and to what we do and helping us give our voices to the community. So thank you very much, Ted, and congratulations. And hopefully, you know, this is about the halfway mark for your career.
I think so. Yeah. So I said 35 more.
All right. All right, so on the other things.
But I will say this, too. When I looked out and saw the people in the community, and I saw you there, and I was really happy you were there because you are truly – we have a lot – we talk about some real serious things. We have a good time. But you're one of a number of people who are really good, close friends. So people should know that.
Well, thank you. So traffic. Wow.
I don't remember what I asked you now. Oh, but just about being careless because we talk about this all the time. I continue to see it. I saw the other day in my neighborhood, in my subdivision, a lady, and granted, it was a subdivision street, but she's going down that street probably 10 miles an hour in a minivan with two kids in the back, and I can see that as she's driving towards me and moving toward the center, she's texting.
Well, you know, it's a problem, and we know it. We like for people to concentrate on what they're doing. I mean, you know, I sit in my neighborhood in the mornings now because, you know, there's a speeding problem everywhere. So sometimes I'll sit there while I'm turning my computer on and I'll run a little radar. And I think the record in my neighborhood right now is being held by a motorcyclist who is doing 58 in a 25. And he's one of my neighbors.
Yeah.
So that was an awkward conversation that we had that morning, you know, after blazing through the neighborhood with lights and sirens on. And it's like, the first thing I asked him is, you know, hey, look, man, I understand you may be late or I don't know what you're doing, but you have almost tripled the speed limit. So what is going on? How can I help you resolve this? And, you know, it's just, well, I wasn't paying attention. But you live here. So you're in our neighborhood. You know, you're ruining our property values. You're endangering our children. You know, all of our kids know each other. All of our families know each other. And you're treating our neighborhood like this. Why is that? And it's funny, no one can ever answer that question. They look at me like I'm wrong for asking that question, which, you know, I think it's a valid question. So everyone gets upset about people speeding in a neighborhood or texting and driving, but there's a lot of people who are doing it. So it's only a problem when everyone else is doing it. So one of the things we talk about in the Teen Safe Driver class is, you know, you're supposed to be setting an example. Mom, Dad, look at your child next to you, and let me ask you this question. If your child came home after being stopped for the exact same thing you're doing right now on the roadway, how would you feel? And all the parents are like, well, I would take their license and I would ground them in the sand. Okay, so why is it okay for you to do it? And then it's this long blank silence like, what'd you say? You know, why is it okay for you to do it? Because what you're doing right now is going to be exactly what your child does because, you know, that old adage, kids listen to 1% of what we say and they do like 97.6% of what we do, whatever the averages are. And it's remarkable when people start to think about, you know, I am setting an example for somebody else. So it goes for everybody else on the roadway. There is so much road rage right now and so many people just losing their temper on the road that we've got to really do something to bring people back into the mindset of driving should be the thing that you're concentrating on when you're driving.
I've often wondered when you pull somebody over, especially for a road rage kind of thing, when you see someone and you've seen it, and it's scary to see someone mad behind the wheel or somebody behind you that's upset. That you're not going faster, but you're not going faster because the person in front of you is not going faster, and they're, you know, laying on the horn. And
it's funny because
do they seem remorseful at all when all of a sudden they're put face to face with, say, Lieutenant Peters?
Well, sometimes they are only remorseful because they got caught. And you can, you know, I drive an unmarked car, so I kind of attribute that to being like in a safari in the wild and natural environment. So when you're in an unmarked car and people drive the way that they drive because you're not in a marked police car and they don't know that you're there, it's remarkable what they do. So a couple of weeks ago, I was on Route 1 and almost got rear-ended by an aggressive driver who then cut off another driver who ran them into the oncoming lanes of traffic, and then he ran a red light. And then when I turned my lights on and stopped him, he looked surprised that I was there. He's like, hey, where'd you come from? Well, I'm the guy you almost hit. Oh, that was you? Yeah. So I'm going to need your license and registration and some oxygen and an ambulance and an IV and some Ritalin because, you know, not only being a part of that situation, almost being hit by somebody driving like that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get out, you're in uniform. Like, didn't you? Oh, wait a minute. I'm in an unmarked car. So, okay, I'll give you that one. But why were you doing that? And they're always so surprised. Well, if I'd have known you were there, I wouldn't have done it. Well, why do I have to be there for you to act like a responsible citizen?
Yeah.
So that was a very interesting traffic stop, trying to get my blood pressure back down and my pulse back up and, you know, to be rational and talk to somebody, you know, and say, hey, you know, we're going to be professional and we're going to talk about this and I'm going to issue some paperwork and I'll see you in a couple of weeks. So it's an interesting environment that we live in, especially with all the construction. I mean, the construction is just maddening.
Yeah.
And we know that, you know, the 630 interchange is going on, and that's right outside of our office. You know, we've had significant crashes on the back roads here recently. You know, every morning I get up and get on the road, and there's an overturned car somewhere in the west end of the county, or there's a crash, or, you know, there have been some pretty significant fatalities here recently, too. So it's really, we're really at a time where we have to talk to people and try to get their attention some way before, you know, another tragedy strikes.
Well, you say it all the time, especially for parents, to just think about modeling for your kids.
That's
because that's what they're going to see that, and they're going to think, well, then that's how you act when this happens?
Well, it's with everything in life, you know. I remember, you know, I raised my daughter, you know, a single dad for a long time, and I had to really put in perspective that, you know, the way that she saw me do almost anything was what she was going to emulate. So if she saw me, you know, I tell the story, you know, every once in a while, you know, I'd have to pick my daughter up from one practice or another, and I'd put in my patrol car and I'd go home, and, you know, I'd be talking to her about being distracted with my computer open, my radar on, my phone ring, and all the different distractions we have.
Yeah.
And she would just, you know, I'd be driving along, the phone rang, I'd answer it, and she'd look at me and be like, Dad, that's distracted driving. And I'd be like, you can shush. But I would have to, you know, you're right, darling, you know, hang the phone up and
yeah.
have to close computer screen. And I tell people, the law says we can do it. We are exempt from all of those different regulations. But it doesn't mean it's the right thing to do all the time. You know, there are certain phone calls we do have to make when we're responding to a call. We want information. But there's other times where we're just like everybody else, where it's probably just not the right time to do something. So setting an example for everybody and remembering that you are an example for somebody, and you can be a positive example very easily. You know, doing the speed limit, you know, stopping at stop signs, red lights, just driving, putting the phone down, you know, using the hands-free devices, all those things. Setting those examples for people is remarkable. And, you know, there's studies. You ever seen the studies where, you know, if there's four people in the room and they have one person who will, like, sit back and cross their arms, and then they look around the room 5 minutes later, everybody's crossing their arms.
Yeah.
Or, you know, he'll stand up and just stand there, and then after about 2 minutes, everybody's standing because they just don't know why
what
they're standing.
Right, yeah.
It's, you know, driving can be the same way. That example goes farther than us saying anything could ever.
Yeah. Lieutenant Lee Peters with the Stafford Sheriff's Office here. Good conversation. We're going to continue on. We're going to talk traffic. When we come back, though, we're going to talk about the 911 center. And just some a lot of us had one struggle at times of when do we call it and how do we deal with it. So we're going to talk about the 911 center and really some of the heroes that work there. When we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Shulman.
Lieutenant Lee Peters with the Stafford Sheriff's Office in this morning. We're going to talk. We're spending a lot of time. We always do. He's a great resource to talk about all things traffic. And now a great resource to talk about all things 911. You spend a lot of your day with the 911 center these days.
I do. I was assigned there back in, I think, December, January time period to try and help out. And it's a remarkable place that, you know, I owe many of the communication officers back there an apology for the 14 years of chaos I caused on the road. So it's a great place with a lot of great heroes that do a lot of good work every single day. You know, they are the voices you hear when you're in trouble, when you need help, you know, you need directions, or, you know, just general information. They're always the first line of communication between, you know, the citizens and any emergency service in Stafford County. So they do so much good work back there. They handle a significant amount of calls every day, and, you know, they're really great people to work with. So I am honored to be a part of that division now, and I'm learning new things every day. And every once in a while, they give me a headset and say, "Here you go, boss. Hit the radio. Let's see what you can do." And, you know, it usually ends in tragedy, but, you know, they're always there to help me out. So I can't thank them enough for what they do for not only, you know, the office but the community. So
I know some people that have done that, and in, you know, in one case the person after a couple months couldn't take it anymore. It's a stressful job.
It's a stressful job. I mean, when you look at the person that has to handle an emergency and get resources and talk somebody through, you know, I've watched them talk somebody through CPR, you know. When somebody calls and says, "Hey, you know, my friend or my loved one isn't breathing," the first thing they do is, you know, they take a breath, they open their cards, and they get to work, and they say, "Okay, this is what I need you to do." And they're trying to keep the person on their end calm. They're trying to give them rational instructions. They're trying to, you know, make them listen, give them, you know, "Hey, you know, we've got help coming. We're sending people out there. You're not going to be by yourself very long, and just listen, hold on." So it's remarkable to hear. You know, sometimes I'll plug in and I'll listen to the phone calls, and there are some tragic stories that go on, you know, before help gets there, and they're relaying the worst moments of their lives to these you know, young men and women, and saying, hey, this is just what happened to me, or, you know, my baby's not breathing, or, you know, my loved one has passed away, or, you know, there's an overdose, or everything that I'm accustomed to responding to, they're taking, you know, first. Well, let me go back. We're taking first. I got to keep saying that because I'm on that side now. But it's really remarkable to watch the calm, the patience, the caring, the compassion that goes on that side of the radio when people are at their very worst moments. Yeah. And, you know, they're scared. They don't know what's going to happen. But these young men and women are right there to say, hey, you know, focus on me for a minute. I'm going to give you some instructions. I'm going to help. I'm going to try and keep you safe till, you know, my units get there, and we're gonna make this an okay day.
And it's important to answer all their questions, because a lot of times, you know, I'm in a panic, and I'm just send someone, get them here. But there are some things that they have to know to be able to tell the person in the field.
Right. The hardest part listening to that is, you know, watching and listening to them gain control of an out of control person. And it takes a remarkable skill to be able to sit there and say, okay, I know you're hysterical, but I need you to listen to me. And, you know, sometimes you'll hear them like, hey, listen to me, I'm going to help. Or they'll call their name, or they'll say something that will get that person for a brief second to say, what'd you say? And start to listen and accept the help. So getting them past that hysterical moment, you know, sometimes it's interesting to watch them do it. And every person up there has their own technique and personality when it comes to helping people. And it's fun to watch. And we've got so many new people up there now who have decided to embark on this journey of, you know, communications officers, and they're learning. So you've got the senior people training the junior people, and it's a remarkable symphony of help that's going on up there, and it's impressive, and they do great work every single day.
Well, and just the knowledge that they have to have, it's especially on the fire and rescue side, because sometimes they're having to just walk the person through some basic CPR or something like that.
Is they have what's called a emergency medical dispatch protocol, which they're supposed to go through, and basically if they say, you know, they've got this big deck of cards. And every card is labeled with a different ailment. And sometimes I'll sit there and I'll look through and like, okay, stab wound, say this, or, you know, puncture wound, or hit by car. I'm like, wow. So they'll say, you know, where's your emergency? And what I want to stress to people is the first thing the communications officer is going to ask you is, where is your emergency? You know, please answer that question. And there's a very specific reason they ask that question. And it's because if anything happens, if you get disconnected, if it's a police-related call and you're running or you're hiding or you're scared or somebody gets your phone, at least we know where to send help. We may not know exactly what to send, but help will be coming to that location. And a lot of people want to get to what the emergency is. And what people need to understand is we are going to start help no matter what. It doesn't matter what your emergency is at that point. We're going to start help. But we need to know where, because we can know what the emergency is all day, but if we can't find you, we can't help you. So they will ask you a very specific questions. They will ask you location first, what is it? And some people get upset. They say, you know, just start help. Well, what you don't know is behind the scenes, as soon as they answer the phone, they're already dispatching help to you. So, you know, people are like, you know, why are you asking these questions? I need help here. Yes, it's already coming to you. They've already dispatched the call. But there are certain things that we want to know, because, you know, we want to make sure the appropriate help's coming. You know, do you need a basic life support? You need advanced life support? Do you need the fire department? Do you need the sheriff's office? Do you need everybody? Yeah. You know, is there anything we need to know about the situation that might hurt an officer responding, or, you know, is what's going on? So, you know, we ask people, we know you're not having a good day when you call 911. We know that there's some stress going on, but please follow what the dispatcher is asking you, because there's a specific reason for that. We're going to get you help. But if we don't know where, it's very hard, and that delays care.
And even though you are stressed, speak clearly and be as calm as you can because you don't want any misunderstandings about that location.
Right. You know, and we know, you know, I've heard some of the calls and, you know, the hysterics that go on. And I understand, you know, we all understand that this is not a cool moment for you. But the dispatchers do a really good job of getting people calm, getting people to answer certain questions, getting their focus back. And, you know, it's a remarkable thing. So I my hat is off to them every day and for what they're doing and what they're trying to do. So it's a remarkable place to work now.
Lieutenant Lee Peters with the Stafford Sheriff's Office with us this morning. We're going to come back and talk some more about 911, and we're going to continue to talk about traffic this morning. Town Talk, financed by Deacon Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. It's 8:30 on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deacon Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Lieutenant Lee Peters with the Stafford Sheriff's Office, our special guest this morning, as we talk about a number of things that we all kind of deal with every day. The 911 center, before we move on to that, one of the things, a lot of people a lot of times have questions about, should I call 911? And I think in the past, you've said to me, if it's an emergency for you, call.
Yeah, we like for people to call for an emergency, and we understand that, you know, people traveling through or people may not know the 911 emergency number, but they may need help. So, you know, we don't like to discourage anybody from saying, okay, I believe I have an emergency. I'm going to call 911. You know, go ahead and do it. If it's not an emergency, you know, the communication officers are trained and, hey, well, let me put you on hold for a minute. I've got another call I got to take. I will get you to the right help. They'll forward you to somebody or they'll come back and help you themselves. So it's a very difficult thing to tell somebody, you know, you don't really have an emergency, don't call 911. And that's not really what our mission is. So if you believe it's an emergency, or, you know, you believe you're seeing an emergency or you're in an emergency, you know, call 911. If it's not an emergency, you know, the dispatcher will still help you. They won't get mad. They won't hang up on you. Say, hey, you know, learn the right number, click. You know, that's not what we do. So, but you do know, you know, if you see, you know, your mailbox got knocked over last night, that's probably not a 911 call.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody has a smartphone. You know, you can Google the number. It's 540-658-4400 is our non-emergency number. Please write that down somewhere. And, you know, but again, we really don't want people to sit there and second guess themselves and say, well, is this an emergency? Should I call 911? Because if it really is an emergency, you're wasting time and you're wasting, you know, valuable seconds that somebody in crisis could be getting help. So, you know, we've had a significant number of, you know, kids call 911. It's funny to me, you know, we were talking about this the other day, and, you know, every child who gets a cell phone between the ages of 1 and 4, generally, you know, as soon as they get a phone, they dial 911. And we were talking about it, like, why does that happen? Why? Because it's the first number that we teach kids. Hmm. And then we're surprised that when they get a phone and they get, you know, mom's house phone or dad's cell phone, and the first thing they do is like, hey, I know this number, 911. And we're talking to young people. So we use that opportunity. You know, our dispatcher will call you back and, you know, say, hey, is there an emergency? We got a 911 call. And generally the mom or dad sounds very surprised, like, what? I didn't call you. And then they look at the 1-year-old with the phone going, hey, 911. And, you know, it's not something, you know, people get in trouble for, but sometimes we will send a deputy out to talk to the young person. It's kind of a moment where we can show them what really happens.
Yeah.
You know, if they call 911, then the police show up. And it's not to yell. It's not to say, hey, you shouldn't have done that. To say, hey, you know, you called 911 and we're here. What can we do for you? And sometimes, you know, they get scared, or they'll, like, you know, I don't know why I did it. But we do like to build that relationship with them and say, hey, look, you know, we want you to call 911 if there's an emergency, but we don't want you to play because now we're here talking to you when we could be at someone's real emergency. So there's a lot of learning, opportunity and, you know, community engagement opportunities that we take with those. But please, parents, you know, if you've got young people, don't hand them the phone to play with, because, you know, they know the one number they do know is 911. It's the one number that they will use frequently. So,
yeah, I never thought of that, but you're right. Yeah, that's the first. Those are the first three numbers you're learning.
Yeah, I still to this day, especially being in a 911 center now, I don't understand why every business says to dial out, dial 9, then the area code, or the 1, then the area code, because everyone dials 9-1 and they think the extra 1 goes, and then they've dialed 911.
Yeah.
And you don't have to dial 9 to get out for 911. It's just 911. So just being in this environment now, I start to ask silly questions at night, not being able to sleep, because I'm like, well, why did they do that?
Yeah.
Because it's forcing you to dial 911, and we get all these calls that aren't 911 calls, and, you know, the dispatch says, hello, 911. They're like, I didn't call 911. I called, you know, 91 and then the area code. Yeah, but if you look at the first three numbers, that's actually 911. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Okay, we get it. So I think my movement when I retire is going to be to change that. You got to do something else besides a 9 and a 1 before you do anything else.
I can see you. You'll have bumper stickers out. You'll be giving speeches on street corners.
Oh, it's going to be ugly. I've got a list of things when I retire that I'm going to do to change some things I've seen in my lifetime in this career. So that's going to be the priority.
Lieutenant Lee Peters here with the Stafford Sheriff's Office. Before we know it, there are going to be buses back on the school on the roads for schools and a lot of schools starting early in August. As always, we talk about it every year, but you might want to leave a little bit earlier because you're going to run into buses and all the usual stuff.
Yeah, that extra half hour of sleep that you started after Memorial Day there that you were getting all summer to get to where you're going, you know, and not worry about bus stops and schools and crossing guards, is coming to a screeching end. So we need you to get back to the school schedule. And just remember, you know, we know the first couple of weeks of school is hectic. There's new bus stops, kids, the lights are flashing. You know, we've gotten accustomed now to not going 25 through the school zones, but it's time to start preparing ourselves. You know, and as you start getting the kids ready for school and putting them back on that sleep schedule and not letting them stay up all night, you know, that's when you should start getting your mind back into the driving mode and getting yourself back into that mindset of school zones, school buses, extra time, extra traffic, and, you know, chaos everywhere. And remember, there's a new batch of young people driving to school this year that just got their licenses and going to all the high schools. So, you know, there's going to be some new drivers and some new driver errors. And it's going to be, you know, every year, the first month of school is chaotic. So start making your plans now and start changing your mindset and watching for those flashing signs, because one of the things you'll notice is if you miss the flashing signs, you'll see the flashing lights. And that's never a good way to start your day.
That is really a good way to describe it, because that yes.
Yeah, just made it up myself. So.
That is spur of the moment. I like that. And I've seen so many cases where the school bus will put on the yellow lights that's letting you know that they're going to be stopping, the red lights, and someone invariably, you see it usually at least once a week, someone will blow right through it of thinking they can do it, and it's just such a dangerous thing.
It is, and you know, I don't know if you've talked to many, you know, bus drivers, or if you've actually seen the bus drivers. The bus drivers treat their kids like parents treat theirs, and like teachers treat theirs.
Boy, they do.
They are some of the most protective people I have ever seen in my life, which is a great thing, because, you know, when I see how the bus drivers react to their kids, you know, I feel better about, you know, the years that my daughter rode a bus, and, you know, I know they really care. So if you endanger the kids on their bus, you know, and they'll tell you, these are my kids, they call us and they are very vocal about, you know, what happened. So what we try and tell people and what people need to understand is, you know, saving that 30, 45 seconds is not worth somebody's life. You know, if you hit a kid that's crossing the street, or, you know, a kid darts out, you know, those lights are there to tell you to slow down. There's kids there. I mean, you can't get any bigger of a billboard than a bright yellow school bus with flashing lights saying, hey, there's kids around, something bad could happen. So when you put that in perspective, there's nothing more important going on in your lifetime at that point than the children that are right there at that bus stop. And we know it's annoying. You know, there are bus stops. You know, I remember, you know, I'm dating myself, you know, there where bus stops were no closer than a mile. You know, you had to walk out of your home and walk, you know, half a mile to the bus stop. It was just one bus stop. All the kids in the neighborhood were there, and the bus stopped for about 2 minutes, and you didn't see another bus stop for miles. Now, you know, you'll see a bus stop at every driveway on a road because that's the new regulations. And whether we appreciate it or not, it's done for the safety of the kids. So I ask people to drive around other people's kids like you want people to drive around yours. Hmm. That's really, really what it comes down to. And we know you've got places to be. And I've told the story, you know, I've gone in Stafford County, either working or not, from one end of the county to the other, and missed every red light and caught every school bus from county line to county line. And nothing will drive you to need therapy more than doing that twice in one day. We get it, but it's all about time management and just understanding the bigger picture. Your time, or you being 5 minutes late or 5 minutes behind, is not worth taking somebody else's child from them. And when that happens, you have to live with yourself, the consequences, and you're forcing somebody else to live with your bad decision. So just put it in perspective. It's not that bad. Just slow down, stop, let the kids get where they're going, you know, and just be safe.
And you've described a number of times on this show and talked about the fact that if you're already 5 minutes behind and trying to make up that 5 minutes, and if I'm encountering Lieutenant Peters, that 5 minutes is now going to be – I'm going to be 20 or 25 minutes late.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's fun. You know, having grown up in this environment, you know, I always give people the analogy. You know, when I first started here, my badge number was 315. You know, I'm 16 now. So having met 315 back in the day was going to be a tragic day. There was going to be consequences, repercussions, you know, and I was very liberal, you know, with the pen. And, you know, everything I ever wrote was justified, warranted, and you earned. A little more rational at this point in my career, a little more understanding, but there's still that line of if you cross this line and endanger kids or school buses, then, you know, all bets are off. But a little bit more compassionate, a little more sympathetic to the cause these days, especially having, you know, like I said, I've raised a little girl by myself. I know how important time is. I know how important getting places are. I know what it's like when you're 5 minutes behind, and that just compounds. But, you know, like we said, if you're speeding, you pass a school bus, you know, and then we stop you, now your day has got exponentially longer and you're that much farther behind. I tell people in Marine Corps, you know, late is late. Doesn't matter if it's 5 minutes or an hour. So if you come in at, you know, 8:05 or 8:30, the punishment's the same. In your work, you know, it's probably the same thing. If you come in at 8:05 or 8:30, you're late. Now, if you come in at 8:05 with a reckless driving summons, not only are you late, but you have a court date, you got to miss work, and it's really going to be a bad day. So it's in your control. How bad do you want your day to be? A lot of people blame us. Well, you could just give me a break. Well, yeah, I could. But your actions, only thing we're doing is documenting your actions. People say, well, you know, how come you can't just, well, you know, if that was your child that just happened to, what action would you want us to take? And people always say, well, they need a ticket. Okay, so why don't you? Well, I'm different. I'm special.
Yeah.
I didn't mean it. Okay, well, nobody really means to be reckless. It happens sometimes. So it's a delicate balance, but we would love to go through, you know, sit in the school zones or, you know, go to the schools and hang out with the kids and have everybody driving responsibly through there and not stop anybody. That's the goal. You know, that's why we put up the signs early. That's why the lights are flashing. That's why we have crossing guards out there. That's why the buses have lights. That's why we have those big signs with the, what's the numbers on it to say speed limit. You know, if everybody just took an extra 5 minutes and did that, we would have other things to do. So
the signs that have the radar on them that will tell what your speed is, those are always interesting because you think at times, I'm fine, and I'll move them. You know, that's 10 miles faster than I need to be going.
Yeah, some people, I think, take those as like a video game to see how high they can make it go. And, you know, it's been done. Don't do that anymore. But, you know, we know that you know, doing 35 for 5 miles is hard to do. But look at the important parts. Look at the schools. Look at, you know, communities. Look at neighborhoods. Those are where really we want you to focus on doing the right thing. So, you know, we don't encourage speeding anywhere, but just know that there are certain places where it is unacceptable. And that's when we're endangering young people. You know, we look at our kids and we want them to be safe. We want them to grow up happy. We don't want them to, you know, encounter these tragedies, whether it's, you know, at the school, on the road. But we've all got to do our part to make sure that we're helping them get to that point. So just relax. It's going to, and I've said this before, it's a very stressful time in Stafford. You've got construction everywhere. Schools are coming back. They're combining the two. We're changing roadways. Speed limits are changing. Roadways are widening. I mean, it's a hectic time to drive in Stafford and even in Virginia. But we have to make sure that we understand the priorities are our children and getting home safe every night.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Lieutenant Lee Peters with the Stafford Sheriff's Office here. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Lieutenant Lee Peters with the Stafford Sheriff's Office here this morning. One of the things, we were just a second ago, Lieutenant Peters talking about just the construction going on. And those are tough areas to go through because sometimes you're stopping and the speeds go down. But you see all those people. I was talking to a couple of VDOT workers this spring, and they just talk about how, especially the people that work at night, it's scary to be out there so close to traffic. And I know you've told me the story about just what you do, being on patrol and being so close to where you feel the breeze from a car going by.
There is nothing cool about standing in traffic for any reason at any point in Stafford County. You know, whether it's a traffic stop, you know, and, you know, one of the things we didn't touch on is, you know, the move over law. You know, please, if you see lights, emergency vehicles, public safety vehicles, wreckers, if anybody's on the side of the road changing a tire and you can move over, give them some room. You know, every year, you know, VDOT loses employees to vehicle crashes, or they're hit, killed, injured, can't work anymore. And those are people who have families. And, you know, we have to put their lives in perspective. You know, there is nothing that you can tell me at any point that would justify you running over somebody or hitting somebody or hurting somebody in a work zone because you were speeding, not paying attention on the phone, or all of the above. So just remember, everybody out there has families. They have somebody they want to go home to, and, you know, so do we. So, you know, move over, slow down, you know, save a life. Construction zones, you know, if you look at Courthouse Road Project, it's well underway, and there's cones and barrels, and the roads are in a state of disrepair because of their moving things and making temporary lanes. So just slow down and give everybody a chance to get home and do their job and not, you know, end up in the ER or worse. So, hey, you know, Ted, I got a question for you. You know, we were talking before about, you know, the stand-up paddleboarding, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, and there's that lovely place downtown, and, you know, I think, and I'd like for the listeners to chime in at some point, because, you know, I think that you need to do an interview on the river, on a board, as you're learning to paddleboard. You know, my daughter got me into it. You know, we talked about it, and it's a great time, and I think the people would like to see you on a board in your Crocs with a camera doing an interview or learning to paddleboard.
April and Keith Peterson would be thrilled to know that, and I'm sure would make arrangements for that to happen.
You know, we should do our next interview that way. We'll do water safety on the river on paddleboards, and we'll see how that works out.
How tough is it to be? Because, I mean, April Peterson talks to me about it all the time, but she's a professional.
Mm-hmm.
How tough is it to do that?
You know, I thought it was going to be very, very difficult.
Yeah.
And if I can manage to not fall off and drown, I think we're good. You know, plus we always say, you know, in the river, this is peak time. You know, wear your personal flotation devices, you know, make sure you're with somebody. don't go out there. You know, all the flooding that we've had, we're gonna stay away from that. But a nice calm down the river is very, very relaxing. You can stand there. It's a good workout. You can get, you know, your six pack together and get a nice core workout.
I see people do it. I didn't know you did it, but I've seen people do it, and to me, it just looks. It looks impossible for me. I think I'd be up and then would be off.
Oh, absolutely not. And just think about the coverage you would get if you actually did that, though. I mean, if you fell off, trust me, I would have my camera. And it wouldn't just be a radio moment.
But it would go viral.
I think we should do it. And I think April, because, you know, we had a conversation on that day. She was still trying to get you out there.
So. Yeah, no, we actually maybe you, me, and her we'll do it, and we'll put a little feature together.
We'll do water safety on the river, and then we'll show the do's and don'ts, and hopefully there'll be, you know, enough water in there to do it.
Lieutenant Lee Peters with the Stafford Sheriff's Office. Lieutenant Peters, great to see you. I'll see you soon. Yeah,
congratulations, Ted. Thank you.
Tom Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious
money.
Thanks
for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.